This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Shot, runs into the box, shot, score!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I know it's a Monday. These things happen from time to time. It's a busy time in the hoops world right now. So we're going to be on Mondays for a few weeks. I'm Jason Longshore. This is our weekly show. We cover soccer in Atlanta and beyond. We've got a lot of Atlanta United talk to have tonight. Three games in. We'll see what we've learned. We'll see what we're still maybe trying to learn, maybe looking for. Maybe we'll go find the learning tree while we're at it tonight on AST. Also, the 3-4-3, as you all know, we've got Champions League all over the world right now. We've got the UEFA variation. We've got the CONCACAF variation. We'll get into all of that as we go tonight. But let's start with Saturday night, Atlanta United. Scoreless draw against the New York Red Bulls in a match that was not boring in any sense to me. I think the Red Bulls were surprisingly the team that maybe had more patience, maybe had less urgency at times. Not what you normally expect to see out of a New York Red Bulls team, but they got a point on the road, so they're going to be pretty happy with that. I think in general, Atlanta United should be somewhat happy and definitely somewhat. The defensive side should absolutely be happy. You didn't give up a shot on goal against a team that was in MLS Cup final last year. That's not easy to do. They did that. They had moments of play in this match where it was the best Atlanta United we have seen in 2025. Take a sequence of roughly the 14th minute to about the 38th minute. And Atlanta United was, by a wide margin, if you go to the judges' scorecards, the better team. They did not score a goal. And this is the same thing that I talked about a lot last week. There's been so much focus on the second half performances. And it's a topic. I get it. It's something that needs to be talked about. But one reason why those second half performances have been what they are is you have not converted in the first half. Where you've been the better team in the first half against Montreal, you scored one goal, led 1-0 at halftime. You were the better team in Charlotte after a half, scoreless. You were the better team after a half against the New York Red Bulls at the Benz, scoreless. One goal in three great first halves. And I think they've gotten better each time. I think this was the best first half. Five big chances in the first half. Five. You'll go weeks without getting five big chances in a match. You had five in the first half. Did not convert. Give Carlos Coronel credit. He had a few big saves. Maybe the biggest one was on Alexei Maranchuk, who, for whatever reason, Maranchuk is getting a lot of fingers pointed in his direction about the way that Atlanta United is 1-1-1 through three games. I don't think it's on Maranchuk. I don't think it's on any one particular player. I thought Maranchuk had that best save with a right-footed shot after a rebound in the 23rd minute. I thought he was very involved in the first sequence. That in the 14th minute was outstanding with Sleash to Almiron to Edwards to Maranchuk. I thought Edwards was the best player on the pitch for large portions of the game that he was in. This was a really great sequence in the first half, but you didn't score. And that's what it comes down to in this sport. The adage that I hate, and it's a cliche, and it's so easy to throw out there, but it's very important in this conversation, goals change games. If you get a goal out of that 14th to 38th minute stretch where you had Maranchuk force a save, you had a sequence where Edwards put in a great cross, it took a slight deflection, Latte Lott couldn't get around on it because of the deflection. That was a couple minutes later. A couple minutes after that, Latte Lott's header that was saved by Coronel. Very good save. You had 3 minutes later, another save by Coronel on a shot from Latte Lott around the top of the 18. Minute after that, you had the diving save from Coronel to push a shot from Maranchuk around the post. 30th minute, you had a save from Coronel on a Matt Edwards header off a corner kick. And in the 38th minute, you had the header from Derek Williams that he should have scored on. It's a great cross from Alexei Maranchuk. That sequence of time, you don't typically create that many chances of that type of quality in a 90-minute stretch, let alone a, 24-minute stretch. But what does it matter? Nothing, ultimately, because you didn't score. The second half becomes very different if you have a 1-0 lead or if you have a 2-0 lead. You might be done with the game in a way by that point if you convert on the moments where you're outplaying the opponent by a wide margin. One of the big areas of why you were so good during that stretch was the way that the team was playing. Here's Ronnie Dyla after the match at Mercedes-Benz Stadium talking about one aspect of why the team was so good in that stretch of play in the first half. Here's this from his post-match press conference.
We talked 100 times about switching play. We play straight, and then again, we come away with something, and we deserve that because we had much more chances than them. 7-0 in shots on the target. They have one goal chance, as I see. So that's good that we didn't open up and also give them the chances. We need to be proud of that first half, and we have to recognize why we are good. And then do that more and keep on working in training with the things we are doing and keep the intensity and the discipline in everything we do at a good level, then we're going to be a good team. I can see it. I see what I see. And it's details that can really show that we're going to be hard to play against.
This is a hard team to play against when they are on song and they are doing the things that they need to do. And start of that sequence, Ronnie Dyla talked about how they were switching the play a lot in those moments where you create those opportunities in the 14th and the 17th and the 19th and the 22nd and the 23rd and the 30th and then the 38th. You're creating those chances by switching the play from one side to the other. A lot of the patterns that you're trying to create with this team are to start on one side, switch the play to the opposite, and sometimes come back again for the finish. We saw that with a couple of the crosses from Matt Edwards, for example. There's a lot getting to the right, from the left to the right, Edwards putting in a cross. You got to convert, and that's what it comes down to. And then when you don't convert, you can't get away from the things that work. You can't get too frantic and start playing through the middle and start playing direct through the middle and just trying that and not having the patience and the decision making to move the ball around a little bit more to find better opportunities. That's what got away from this team in the second half. I thought they still defended well. They were very organized. They didn't give up a shot on goal, but they could not find a goal with those seven shots on goal and all of those big chances. And ultimately, it finished 0-0. After the break, we're going to come back and dig a little bit deeper into this. Also, a news update on Latte Lot. We'll get into all of that on the other side of the break. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Back to more of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. We're talking Atlanta United. We're looking back a little bit at the draw with the New York Red Bulls, and we're also going to start looking ahead to next Sunday. But before we get there, news came out late this afternoon. Latte Lot is in concussion protocol. This happened after the match. It was from an incident in the 38th minute, you would assume. There was a collision. He went up for a header, and he kind of got sandwiched. He was checked. It was actually right in front of us on the touchline, closest to where our booth is. I was paying attention to him and did the check, checked the eyes. He did sprints. He came back in. I'm sure there were conversations at halftime about how he was feeling, if there were any effects, if he was struggling with anything. He started the second half. He played about 23 minutes in the second half. About half of it came out in the 68th minute for Kayman Togashi. After that, he was placed into concussion protocol, and I'm not sure where that part came from, if it was on Sunday, if it was today, if there were issues that popped up later. There's not a blueprint with concussions, and they're never the same, even for the same person, let alone for different people. It's something that I dealt with and had a really bad after effect from one. I felt fine after the hit that caused the concussion. Went to sleep, woke up the next day, felt a little off when I woke up, and then when I started to do things later that morning, I felt terrible. I felt like my head was going to cave in. There's no way to know. So he is, and there's no way to know what the timeline is for coming back either. And that's the challenging aspect of it. You have to get to the point where you can do activity and not have any after effects, not have any setbacks. So the timeline for him is basically day to day in terms of evaluation and when he'll be able to return. So that puts him in question for Sunday against Inter Miami. They are coming to town, and they are loaded for bear to get a little revenge after Atlanta United knocked them out of the postseason last year. They've been outstanding so far in 2025, 5-0-1 in all competitions. Sunday will be their eighth game since February 19th. It'll be Atlanta's fourth. Sergio Busquets is leading them in minutes right now. Luis Suarez is second. Jordi Alba is third. So the old fellas are playing a lot of minutes. One of them is not Lionel Messi. He's played 249 minutes, three games out of the six. He's got two goals in those three. Tadeo Allende, the new winger from Argentina, he was last with Celta Vigo in Spain. He's got four goals to lead the team in those six games. Luis Suarez has three. Venezuelan midfielder Telasco Segovia also has three. He was playing in Portugal with Casapia most recently. Oscar Ustari, he has started every game, and we're not really sure exactly what's going on with Drake Callender. He has not played. Rocco Rios Novo is the backup, and he came on in the match against Charlotte over the weekend because Ustari was red carded in the first half. It was scoreless at that point. Miami went on to score a goal with 10 men, and they held on to win 1-0 over Charlotte. But Ustari will miss the match on Sunday. Is it going to be Rocco, or is Drake Callender going to come out of mothballs? I don't know what's going on with Drake Callender. Lionel Messi has not seen game time since February 25th. He was left out of the match day plans in Houston. He was left out of the match day plans for the Champions Cup match against Cavalier last week in the midweek. He was on the bench against Charlotte. He did not play. Javier Mascherano afterwards said when asked The reality is that in the case of Leo, maybe we had thought about giving him minutes in the game, but since the game was played with one man less and taking into consideration the time he was without playing, we thought that the best thing was to preserve it. We didn't want to risk it. They didn't need to. They ended up kind of playing a 5-4-0 to see that game out. So Atlanta's going to have their work cut out for them against an Inter-Miami team that's just very good. They are going to Kingston, Jamaica to face Cavalier in the second leg of the CONCACAF Champions Cup on Thursday. Going to be a packed house at the National Stadium. They call it the office. It's not a pleasant place to play. It's not a great surface. We'll see. It's a 2-0 lead for Miami, so they're not safe going into this. We'll see how they manage the minutes. We'll see how they handle the early stages of the game. If you're an Atlanta United fan, you're really rooting for Cavalier to take it to Miami and make them work on Thursday night, because at some point, playing 8 games in the same time span that another team is playing 4, you would think that's going to catch up to you, right? Regardless of that, Atlanta has to be better in the attack. You know, I hate to keep harping on it about just converting on your chances, but it's what decides games. For example, the Hawks tonight shot over 40% from 3, shot almost 55% from the floor. They made their shots. They won. You've got to convert. All the other parts are important. They're building blocks to winning games. But if you don't convert, you can't win. And we saw that in this match. Atlanta was the better team, and I thought by a significant margin. The second half, the Red Bulls had moments, but they didn't get a shot on goal. So it's hard to say that they dominated the second half. They didn't. They had some moments. Atlanta had some moments. It was a kind of a 50-50 second half. First half was pretty much all Atlanta. It was chaotic to start. 14th minute is when Atlanta started to get their chances. Kind of carried that all the way through the half. After the match, I went down to the locker room, had a chance to talk to Noah Cobb and ask him kind of a lot of things. We talked about a lot, but I asked him if there's something missing at this stage from the team. And this is what Noah had to say.
I don't think necessarily, something's obviously missing because we want to be winning these games, but I don't think it's some, grand task that, it could be just one moment in a game and then we find our confidence a little bit and then we're playing and we're off to the races. I think it's just how can we take our first half form into the second half and continue to be brave with the ball. In the first half, we're so brave. We play inside, we switch, we play forward, set other side. And I think at times in the second half, I don't know if we get a little heavy legs or if it's, you know what it is, but I think if we can somehow replicate our first halves in the second half, easier said than done, but I think it's so close. I think, this is our third game with everybody, and I think it's so close.
Big time credit to Noah Cobb for coming out to talk. I know that's not easy after a game like that where it's frustrating, and I'm the last person that he wants to see at that point. So big time thank you to Noah Cobb, and I think for being real. I don't think it's far off either. I think it is down to, I like that he talked about being brave in those moments. It's important to stick to what is working and not get frustrated and not get away from that game plan. Now, I want to play this clip from the post-game press conference. Doug Robertson of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution brought up a comment that Ronnie Dyla made in Chattanooga when talking about, and that was preseason game number one, about kind of what he wanted to see from the team. And it's kind of become a recurring topic. I want you to listen to Ronnie's response to it, because I think it's very important in terms of getting the understanding of what he wants and the why he wants it as well, in terms of building up the play and creating these kinds of opportunities. Here's Ronnie Dyla from post game on Saturday from the Benz.
As a follow up to that, at the beginning of the preseason, you talked about not wanting to see the players passing the ball backward,
but through the center of the pitch.
Okay. I'm just trying to make sure.
Yeah, but you could simply see the first 25 minutes, then you understand
what. Yeah.
So why was it good? Because we switched the play.
Okay.
And everybody moved the ball on one or two touches. Everybody wanted the ball. There were opposite movements. But if you play forward, how can you get a fullback to overlap?
Right.
There's no chance. You have to get to one side and you have to get to the opposite side. And then we did for half an hour. And then suddenly we start to play through the center. And if you play through the center, then you get to that way instead. So it's decision making.
Okay.
If I haven't said that, they could produce one goal chance. So right. It's not everything bad. But at the same time, we know what we can do. So I think if we couldn't do it, I will never sit and say that. So I say we played a fantastic game. But I see what these players are capable to do. And that's what we have to be honest with each other. And I have to be honest with all of our fantastic supporters.
So many talking points to come out of that I think are really important. There has to be an understanding going forward. And this has to come from, I don't know if it's me, if it's from Ronnie, if it's from media, if it's from influencers, I don't know. But there has to be an elimination of the idea that passing backwards is a bad thing. And this is not new. This is not brand new to this season. Passing backwards is not a bad thing. We have to stop with that. You just have to stop thinking that every time a team passes backwards, it's bad. It's what you do with it. That's what's important. If you pass backwards from the middle of the pitch because you don't want to go forward, like Ronnie Dyla talked about, that's not great. But then what do you do with it? If you pass backwards to switch the point of attack to the opposite side, that's good. Because that's how you really get numbers forward. You can't get forward if your center backs bomb it forward every time. You're going to have your wingers and your striker be forward, but other guys are trying to catch up to the ball going over their heads. How do you really get numbers forward? How do you really make it difficult to defend? You work the ball from one side to the other, and then players overlap and get forward. That's where you create 2v1s. That's where you make it difficult to defend. That's how you hurt teams. Just bombing it forward, you're playing 50-50 ball and you're buying lottery tickets and you're hoping that you come up good. That's not how you want to control games. You have to pass backwards sometimes to go forward. This is not new. This is not a new idea. This is not something that is revolutionary. This is what all teams do. And we have to break the habit of getting upset when the ball is passed backwards. That cannot be the case anymore. I think the last part that Ronnie Dyla said is the most important part. This is a team that is capable of more. He believes it. I see it. I think others see it. They need to perform better. They need to convert. They need to produce the final ball in those moments. Put the ball in the back of the net. Convert your chances. We're having some really different conversations about this team through three games. But it is through three games, ladies and gentlemen. Three games. Fourth game's going to be really hard against Miami. It's on Sunday. Kickoff will be after 7 o'clock. Our pregame coverage will start at 6 o'clock on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. One more break. 3-4-3 coming up next. Three local stories, four headlines, and three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. Coming up next on AST on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9, The Game, and the Odyssey app. We're into the Soccer Pirate Radio portion of the show after 11 p.m. We're also on a Monday, so it really feels like some pirate radio. AST will be on Monday for the next couple of weeks as we're getting into the March Madness portion of the sports calendar. I'm Jason Longshore, and y'all know how we end the show by now. It's the 3-4-3. It's brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. Three local stories, four headlines from anywhere in the world, and three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. Let's start with the local side. Man, it was a tale of pretty much the same thing you saw Saturday night at the Benz for Atlanta United 2 on Friday night in Kennesaw at Fifth Third Stadium. Really similar, except one of the Red Bulls' two shots on goal, they only had two of them. One of them deflected in for the only goal of the match. 1-0 win for New York on this one. Braden Dunham, the left back academy player, first appearance in MLS Next Pro, and he was the man of the match. He was outstanding in this game. He's committed to Furman after his high school graduation in May. Would expect him to get a few more games with Atlanta United 2 between now and then, although Dominic Chongqui will be back with the twos sooner rather than later as Pedro Amador is back to full fitness with the first team. New faces Ryan Carmichael and Moises Tablante, I thought, were also standouts in this match on Friday. The twos will be back in action Sunday night, same time as the first team in Orlando to face Orlando City B. All right, let's get caught up on the girls' high school rankings. Not a lot of games on a Monday night. Typically Tuesdays and Fridays are the big nights for high school games in Georgia. Some big ones later this week, especially on Friday, will be up in Gainesville for Greater Atlanta Christian at Johnson of Gainesville. I'm looking forward to that one. But on the girls' side, West Forsyth is number one in the all classification rankings. Roswell's two, Buford, Brookwood, Blessed Trinity. That rounds out your top five. Six is Walton. Seven is Northgate. Eight is Greater Atlanta Christian. Nine is Adairsville, and 10 is Harrison. 6A has three of the top four, led by West Forsyth. Roswell is the top team out of 5A. Blessed Trinity is the top team out of 4A. Adairsville, number nine in all classifications, they are tops in 3A. Pike County is your first place team in 2A. Bremen is the number one team in A Division One. And Atlanta Classical Academy is the best team in single A Division II. These are coaches' polls from scoreboard.com. Let's move over to the boys' side for number three on the local stories. River Ridge is your number one in all classifications. Dalton to Norcross, McIntosh, and Lambert round out the top five. Northwest Whitfield is six. Marist is seven. Hebron Christian is eight. Johns Creek is nine. And Archer is 10. Norcross is your top team in 6A. They're third in the overall classifications. River Ridge is your number one team in 5A and number one across all class. Dalton leads 4A. They're number two here. They're the best team that I have seen so far this season. I haven't seen River Ridge or Norcross yet. Northwest Whitfield, they lead 3A. Columbus leads 2A. Toombs County is leading single A Division One, and Dooley County is your best team in single A Division Two. All right, let's move over to the headlines from around the world. We're going to start with the UEFA Champions League. Second legs of the round of 16s in the UEFA Champions League. Here's your very quick talking points as games start tomorrow. Your first game tomorrow will be Barcelona hosting Benfica. Remember, it's at 1:45. Remember, daylight saving time. It throws you off when you get to Champions League right now. Instead of the usual 12:45, it's 1:45. Instead of the usual 3 o'clock kickoffs, it's 4 o'clock. Just check your times and try to keep up with it. It's very complicated. Barcelona won 1-0 on the road in Portugal last week. They did not play over the weekend. A tragic death of their team doctor, Carlos Mignaro, the day of the match. It was postponed, so they didn't play. They attended the funeral as a team today. Feyenoord is at Inter, and Inter should be fine. They won 2-0 in the Netherlands in the first leg. Inter has been great defensively in this competition as well. 8 clean sheets. That's tied for the club's all-time record for clean sheets in a single Champions League campaign. Liverpool, they will host PSG. A late goal in Paris against the run of play. That was enough for Liverpool to win 1-0. Alisson, goalkeeper, stood on his head. Expect goals in this one. PSG, and I don't know, maybe I jinx it here. Just come back and yell at me if I do. If you're a Liverpool fan, you'll be happy. But PSG have played 93 straight Champions League games without a scoreless draw. 93. You're going back to 2015, the last time PSG played a scoreless draw in the Champions League. They had 28 shots, 28, and couldn't find the back of the net on last week, on Wednesday. So, you know, we can harp on Atlanta United not finding goals. PSG's right there in that same category. We'll see if they can go find some at Anfield in the second leg. Bayern is hosting Leverkusen. Bayern won 3-0 in the first leg. They can cruise here. Nothing to worry about. Let's move to the Wednesday games. Lille is hosting Dortmund. Lille beat Real Madrid at home in the group stage. Dortmund was seen as a big favorite in the first leg. Lille has been a very big surprise in this competition. I think they get it done against Dortmund tomorrow. Arsenal will absolutely get it done. They won 7-1 in the Netherlands in leg one. This is academic. They could play the youth team. Aston Villa, they're hosting Club Brugge. Now, 3-1 lead in the first leg on the road in Belgium. But don't fully sleep on Club Brugge. They won 3-1 at Atalanta just a couple of games ago in the playoff round to get to this point. They are capable, but Aston Villa should be okay here. The big game on Wednesday is Atleti hosting Real Madrid, the Madrid derby. Real Madrid won 2-1 in the first leg. Atleti at home against Real Madrid in the Champions League. This sounds crazy as I combine these two bits of information for you, but Atleti at home against their crosstown rivals, 3 games, 2 wins and a draw. However, Atleti has been eliminated 4 times by Real Madrid, and it might be 5 when this one is said and done. Real Madrid is trying to get to the quarterfinals for the 5th straight year. Only twice since 2010-2011 have they failed to make the semifinals. Only twice. This is the blue blood of blue bloods when it comes to the Champions League. I think they get it done. I kind of see a draw in this one. I think it will be wild. I think there will be chaos. I think there'll be all kinds of talking points. Atleti and Real Madrid on Wednesday. Find a TV at 4 o'clock for that one. All right, number two on the headlines. Let's go to CONCACAF. They have their Champions Cup going on right now. Here's your updates on where things stand as they're in the second legs of the round of 16. As well, Columbus, they will be hosting LAFC. 2-0 win for LAFC in their home leg. A slip up from Steven Moreira that allowed Denny Bouanga to give the hosts the early lead. It was actually 3-0. Sorry, two more goals conceded. Columbus has got to go nuts in this home leg, or LAFC is finally going to get the better of the Columbus crew. LAFC did not look good over the weekend in a 5-2 loss to Seattle. Tigres, they're hosting Cincinnati. Nicolas Ibanez scored the away goal, and away goals count in CONCACAF. They don't count in UEFA. I know it's confusing. Yell at them, not me. Tigres have the advantage because they scored on the road. It finished as a 1-1 draw. Tigres can advance without scoring, but this isn't really a team that sits back and defends. This is a team that wants to attack, even with André-Pierre Gignac nursing a leg injury. Cincinnati got a little bit of momentum. They played Toronto. Doesn't really count for a whole lot. Toronto's not very good right now. But Cincinnati won 2-0. Danke, their big signing, he scored from the penalty spot. He's been scoring consistently for the orange and blue. Yuya Kubo scored the second one. We'll see if Cincinnati can pull a shock in Monterrey against Tigres. Chivas and Club America, the Super Clásico of Mexico. Three games in a row between these two teams. They had a scoreless draw over the weekend. That was after Chivas won 1-0 in the first leg of this round of 16. And so often when you see teams play one another a bunch in a short period of time, everybody gets a little testy. You saw that on Sunday. Cade Cowell, U.S. men's national team player, was sent off for an awful challenge over the ball, studs up into somebody's ankle. Chivas's manager, Gerardo Espinoza, he was sent off. A Club America assistant coach, he was sent off. Third game in less than a week. I'm expecting at least one person, maybe not player, but at least one person to get kicked out of this game. Maybe multiple. I also think Club America is going to find a way to win at home in Mexico City. Herediano, they are at the LA Galaxy. Herediano from Costa Rica, our old friends from 2019. They have been very, very good in CONCACAF. They got through RSL, winning the second leg outright in Utah after a scoreless draw in leg one. They kept the Galaxy off the score sheet in the first leg of the round of 16. And now they're 90 minutes away from knocking out the defending MLS Cup champions. Now, the LA Galaxy have not been very good this season at all. And I mean at all. They lost 2-0 to St. Louis over the weekend. They are 0-3-0 in MLS play. They also have the loss to Herediano. So they've played four. They've lost four. In the loss at home on Sunday, they were not at the same level as St. Louis. They're missing Ricky Pooch for a long time. They're missing Joseph Paintsill for a much lesser period of time, but you haven't seen him yet. Not much creativity. Marco Royce has not given them much. The attacking duo of Christian Ramirez, who they brought in from Columbus, Gabriel Peck, they haven't really created much on their own. This is not a good LA Galaxy team at the moment. Can they get right against Herediano? I don't know. Herediano's been really good. They had had a 14-game undefeated streak across all competitions, but that was broken up over the weekend. They lost to Alajuelense in Costa Rica in a 2-1 loss. So maybe the Galaxy can find some semblance of an attack here. Let's go to Mexico City once again. Cruz Azul, they will be hosting Seattle in the CONCACAF Champions Cup second leg. Scoreless draw in the first leg in Seattle. Cruz Azul, La Máquina, they've drawn three straight games. If it's a draw with goals, Seattle will advance because they will have the away goals. However, even after they won 5-2 over the weekend, Paul Rothrock was outstanding. Jordan Morris set the club's all-time scoring record. Pedro de la Vega, the guy who was expected to be the replacement for Nico Ladero, the heart of this team, the creative hub of this team, he had to leave the game with tightness in his quad and is unlikely to play in Mexico. He didn't play much last year either. That's a problem for the Sounders at this stage. Let's go back to Monterrey. Monterrey, Los Rayados. They are hosting the Vancouver Whitecaps, and Vancouver has an injury issue as well. Ryan Gauld, they call him the Scottish Messi. Some people call him that. That feels like a big stretch for Ryan Gauld. He's a very, very good player. But he had a non-contact knee injury, which was feared to be really bad. Sounds like it's not going to be as bad, but he's not going to play in the second leg here. Monterrey have the advantage because of the away goal in a 1-1 draw. this game actually won't be in Monterrey. It's going to be in the Estadio Corona, the home of Santos Laguna, because Monterrey Stadium, the BBVA Stadium, has been booked for a Shakira concert. So Shakira is kicking Los Rayados out of their stadium for the second leg of this CONCACAF round of 16 match. We'll see if that changes anything for Vancouver. Rayados also 1-1 draw against Cruz Azul in league action over the weekend. Vancouver won. They are 3 wins out of 3 in league play. They have not lost in competition in 2025 as of yet. And then Thursday, as I said earlier, Miami, they are on the road in Jamaica against Cavalier FC. Cavalier FC, they didn't play the week before because the referees went on strike for unpaid wages in the Jamaican Premier League. Either they got paid or they got convinced to come back to work. They played over the weekend a 1-1 draw at Waterhouse FC. They got the goal in the 70th minute to tie it. Jalmero Calvin with that goal. So remember that name. Remember that Cavaliers a little scrappy. We'll see if they can find a way to keep it interesting against Miami. Number three on the headlines, U.S. men's national team. They're going to play friendly matches against Turkey and Switzerland in June. This is part of the preparation for the 2025 CONCACAF Gold Cup. They're going to play Turkey in East Hartford, Connecticut. They're going to play Switzerland in Nashville at Geodis Park. The roster for the CONCACAF Nations League semifinals and final, hopefully, if you win the semi, that's going to come out tomorrow. So make sure you're following U.S. Soccer on all your social media platforms for that. Pochettino will speak to the media after that roster is announced. Number four on the headlines, Premier League Summer Series. It's coming back to Atlanta on August 3rd. It was here in 2023. Over 70,000 people were on hand at Mercedes-Benz Stadium to welcome Miguel Almiron back to the stadium when Newcastle came back to play. Bournemouth will play West Ham. Manchester United will play Everton in the doubleheader. First time in Atlanta for Manchester United. That's a big deal, even with the year that they're having, the era that they're having, the time that it's beyond a year. It's very bad. We will see. But they draw. So that should be a very interesting day of soccer. Sunday, August 3rd. This is going to be the 26th soccer date scheduled for Mercedes-Benz Stadium in 2025 with Club World Cup, with Atlanta United, with Leagues Cup. Could be some playoff games. Could be some Leagues Cup knockout games. 26 dates. You do the math and, you know, we don't know what the matchups are going to be in the Club World Cup knockout rounds, but you start to do the math and you start to project and the stadium is going to draw far more than 1 million soccer fans in 2025. And it might be closer to 2 million than it is to 1 million. Just incredible that this is what's happening in our city, in Atlanta, that you're having 1 million plus fans going to the biggest stadium in town, one of the best stadiums in the world, to watch a variety of soccer in 2025. Going to be amazing. Can't wait for the Premier League Summer Series. That's going to be very cool. And stay tuned on Off the Woodwork, where we post our soccer podcast from 92.9 The Game. I'm going to catch up with Jordan Pickford later this week to talk about that. All right, three things that make me smile. One of them is talking to Jordan Pickford later this week, but I'll save that. Number one, Braden Dunham's performance for the twos on Friday night. This is a young man who I've had the chance to interview. You've heard it on Off the Woodwork in the past. He's a player who was captain of the U16 Atlanta United team that won a national championship. Really cool to see the hard work that he has put in to get into this Atlanta United 2 team and play very, very well. I was just so impressed with his performance. Dominic Chongqui is going to come back and play left back. But I think Dunham's going to be with the twos for the rest of this run. And I'm curious to see if he ends up going to Furman or not. We've seen this happen before. George Campbell is always the one that I point out that he was intended to go to college and he never made it to college. And now he's in the national team. Braden Dunham, can he shock everybody and earn a professional contract before he goes to college? Well, he's going to have these opportunities if he keeps playing like he did on Friday night. Number two, things that make me smile about this game. Atlanta United's Unified team. Yesterday was the signing day for Unified. Myself and Madison Cruz were the MCs for the day. Almost 100 supporters were there making noise. It's one of my favorite things that I get to do with Atlanta United, calling these games and supporting this team. It's a partnership with Special Olympics Georgia. And so many people put so much time into it. Brad Kazan's been an ambassador for the team from day one. Jay Fortune is an ambassador this year as well, seeing them interact with the athletes, the fans interacting with the athletes, just a blast. They're going international for the first time ever as well for a unified team. They're going to Toronto, doing a home and away with Toronto. They'll be up there in July. The first game is hosting Nashville. So the Nashville and the Toronto games, the unified team will play after the first team. Go ahead and put it in your calendar where you've got the Atlanta United schedule. You're going to stay late at the Benz those nights and stay late and support Atlanta United's unified team. Number three, Atlanta's Sonic ID for World Cup 2026 dropped last week. And look, I'm a little biased as an Atlanta guy, but I've heard a lot of the other ones that have come out, and this one sounds the most authentic to the city, and it sounds the best of all of them that I've heard. It's a remix of the basically the broadcast intro that you'll hear for World Cup games in 2026. When they go to Atlanta, you're going to hear the Atlanta Sonic ID there, and you're going to know it's Atlanta because Dallas Austin produced it. He was at the game on Saturday and spoke about his thought process in creating the Atlanta Sonic ID. Here's what Dallas Austin had to say about that process.
Nobody was in a music city as much of Atlanta, so we had to do something that felt a little more, you know, Atlanta, a little more exciting, right? So I just kind of started to come in every other day and be like, nah, that's not it. I mean, what am I missing, you know? And then, you know, adding the marching band stuff to it was really when it started to click. I was like, oh, if I just capture all the stuff that we like in Atlanta, some 808s, some marching bands, some chants, some, you know, drop the beat in the middle. Then, and it wasn't until probably like the kind of last, you know, you start to get the feeling, okay, this is it, you know. And when I sent it into the mayor's office, then Falana called me back like not even 5 minutes later going, what the hell is this? This is amazing. We want to... So yes, it's been really exciting, and I'm honored to do it.
It's awesome work by Dallas Austin. You got 808s, you got marching bands, and you got chants. That is Atlanta accurate 100%. Very cool work from Dallas Austin. Thank you for finding me on a Monday night. I'll be here the next couple of Mondays. AST will be back on Tuesdays later in the month, and we'll be at 10 o'clock unless we're after Hawks basketball, and then we'll be slightly after that. Thank you for being part of it. Don't forget, Atlanta United is on Sunday this week against Inter Miami. Pre-game coverage will start at 6 o'clock with Abe Gordon and Madison Cruz. Kickoff will be after 7 o'clock with myself and Mike Conti. Adios, everybody.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's Almased.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, non-stop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.